And good morning. I have every single intention that I can come up with this morning to help as many people as I can. This program is called Health Essentials. It's really good to be with you. If you hear a crash of thunder or lightning, well, it's because there's thunder and lightning. I just think this weather's cool. I like it. Okay, first things first. If you or somebody that you know might be struggling with their health, I mean, there's always a possibility. It's really a blood sugar issue. Nothing can be gained by allowing blood sugar to get out of control and to have all the systems of your body fail. Nobody wants to be a diabetic. But what if you're, you know, not sure if you're a diabetic, but maybe you're heading that direction and there's enough physical signs. Maybe it's as simple as, maybe it's as simple as you don't feel as good as you used to. Maybe you've packed on a lot of weight. Maybe when you go to the doctor, they're talking about your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your blood sugar's going up. But you're just right there on the edge. You're not yet a diabetic, but you're almost, you're certainly heading that direction. So should you do something about that now to try to turn the tables, you know, turn the ship around, right the ship, get back on track, get back to good again, restore your health, get your blood sugar back down low? Or would you prefer to wait until you're blind and you have a diabetic retinopathy or you develop macular degeneration? Do you really want to have a foot amputated? Do you want to have a leg removed? Do you want to lose your job and not be able to work and be productive? Do you want to spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair? No, ain't nobody need diabetes. Nobody. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you something so simple that when you hear me talk about this one study that comes from Tehran University of Medical Sciences, you're going to think, how come I haven't heard of this before? Well, listen to this right here. People who are in the pre-stage of developing type 2 diabetes, that means they're almost there. They don't exactly need insulin injections, or they may not be on a lot of medications. They would become a whole lot healthier, according to the study, if they just took 4 capsules a day of ginger. Are you with me on that? I don't know how much more simplified that could be. That's something that actually every single person listening, hey, they could do that. Okay, according to researchers from Tehran University School of Medical Sciences, ginger improves cholesterol levels. Okay, that may be another angle. Maybe that's all you think about. Maybe somebody's put the fear of God into you that your cholesterol levels are about to be your undoing. So ginger even improves that. Well, how does it do that? By improving insulin levels. So let me read the study to you. The researchers divided 37 adults. These weren't kids or teenagers. They were adults, full grown. And these individuals, they had faltering insulin levels, meaning they had insulin resistance. Their glucose levels or blood sugar was probably way too high. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with that. They just don't convert sugar into energy because of insulin resistance. And I'm not saying that's not fun. I mean, waking up every day, taking a syringe and putting insulin in it and taking a needle and stabbing yourself in the stomach. Yeah, that's great fun. Of course it's not. So they did go on to say that these people, even though they yet had not been prescribed insulin, they were about as close to diabetes as they could be, and they said they were usually quite fat, which means they were quite overweight. So what they did was they divided these pre-diabetics into 2 groups. And so for 12 weeks, subjects in the experimental group, they took 4 capsules each day of ginger. I think it was just dried ginger root extract. How hard is that? It's like super easy, and that's cheap too. Now you're probably asking me, what is the size of the capsule? Well, each capsule was 500 milligrams. So if you add that up, 4 times 5 would be 2,000 milligrams a day. And that's what they used, was dried ginger root extract. All right. They did it for 12 weeks. This is a pretty good test, right? So subjects in the control group, they were just given a placebo. All right, I've got the chart in front of me. I know you can't see it, but what they do is, at the end of the 3 months or the 12 weeks, they look at insulin levels. And all of a sudden, insulin level or insulin sensitivity radically improved. If you saw the chart that I'm looking at, you would say, that is impressive. Now, another metric they looked at was a marker called triglycerides. All right, you know what the word triglyceride means. The word tri, or the prefix tri, means three. Basically, you take three molecules of sugar. And why is this important? Because if you cannot efficiently convert sugar into energy, your body is going to shuttle a lot of it directly into fat. And so the only stored form of fat in the body, really, is called a triglyceride. So if somebody's got a fatty liver, that means they got a whole bunch of triglycerides just crammed right into the liver, and the liver becomes swollen. I think one study that I looked at maybe, you know, months in the past, you're not going to live as long if you have a fatty liver. You got to take that seriously. That is not in your best interest. It's not in your family's best interest. It's not in the best interest of the world or the country to make it a better place to have a fatty liver. No, we need to reverse that. And so here's what they noticed. They noticed that triglycerides dropped an average of 55 points. So let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, that your total triglycerides were 135. That's not a great number. That's way too high. And the more triglycerides, or if you want to call it fat, that you have in your arteries, you're just making your heart work a heck of a lot harder. You're making your liver work harder and your kidneys work harder. So most likely you're going to have blood pressure problems. Because the more swollen your arteries are, or packed tight with triglycerides, that's when your blood pressure goes up. That's the only option you got. So when the people with high triglycerides, when they took the ginger, 4 capsules a day, 500 milligrams each, 2,000 a day, their triglycerides dropped on average of 55 points. That's like going from 135 down to 80. That's like out of the stratosphere back down to Earth again. I thought that was important. Now this next one, this really gets me right here. Because I don't know of any toxic side effects. Yes. One of the side effects of taking ginger is you might burp or belch a little bit more than normal. But I don't think I've ever seen a severe case of it. I've read about it, but out of all the people that I've cared for over the last 35 years, I don't think I've heard of anybody really complaining about that. Okay, so what they did was they compared those that took ginger, they're essentially almost a diabetic, compared to the placebo group, same situation, almost diabetic. And so they said, how much weight did they lose on average? Well, it was 13.2 pounds. Folks, if you do something for 12 weeks and you average 1 pound loss of body fat or weight each week, I would say that's a home run. Instead of course, what you're doing, do you think those individuals that lost 13.2 pounds, you know, in 3 months, do you think they were going to say, I do not like the weight loss, I don't like my cholesterol being better or my triglycerides, I want to get off the ginger? I don't think so. I would think that success, I mean, that's success right there. You can't tell me that's not successful. If you lose 1 pound a week consistently, as long as you're taking the ginger, that's a home run, folks. Anyway, are you okay with that idea? All they're doing is just using ginger. You could go to any grocery store and you can literally get just about all the ginger that you want. I've never seen them run out. Even if I buy a lot of it, it's still not going to run out. Okay, so what do you think about that? You don't want to develop diabetes? Well, you have an option now. Now, I'm not trying to make any of these a panacea conversation. There's a lot of moving parts, and I'm just giving you one angle, but it's something so simple that just about anybody could do with the most minimal effort on their part. Okay, now this next one, I did a little bit of research on this one because I wanted to know as much as I could, but you know, it's just a gift to be able to do this stuff. I like the idea of being curious and asking questions and learning, because learning, you grow as a person. You can help more people. You can make the world a better place. Okay. This article, I think, is going to be super relevant to just about everyone listening this morning. All right? By the way, let me go ahead and give out the phone number. If you need to write this down because you don't know what the phone number is to the radio station or to get into this program, Health Essentials, this is it right here. 903-589-8507. We'll come to that in just a little bit. Now, in this article right here, they're talking about... let me just read this to you right here. I think you'll pick up on it real quick. They say that, and this is the abstract part of it, but this is so good. This is really good. Listen to this. Chronically raised concentrations of an inflammatory factor called C-reactive protein in your blood, it's a recipe for all sorts of disaster. The author writes, high levels of C-reactive protein. Now, if you don't know what C-reactive protein is, write it down and look it up. I think you'll find out you don't want to have high levels of C-reactive protein. Okay, high levels of C-reactive protein, what does that mean to you and me? It means you've got an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, developing diabetes, Alzheimer's, which a lot of times Alzheimer's is referred to now as type 3 diabetes of the brain, and also many other chronic diseases. The author goes on to say that C-reactive protein, it interferes to a greater or lesser degree in nearly every chronic disease that you can think of. Let's see a show of hands. Who wants to have a heart attack, diabetes, and Alzheimer's? Well, nobody does. And so what they're doing is they're just going to the grocery store and they're getting powdered ginger and they're asking, can this drastically lower the level of C-reactive protein in your blood? Now, this is according to a meta-analysis study that was recently published in Food and Nutrition Research. And I do not have the date for you on that, so I'm going to have to see if I can find it. Maybe I can. Sometimes I try to write those things down. I don't always find them, though. And so all they're doing... So let's go back to C-reactive protein. Okay, C-reactive protein, it is produced by your liver in response to inflammation. What is inflammation, you might ask? Well, it's your cells in your body breaking down much faster than you can get them back in good repair. So if you had chronic inflammation of the knee, what is that called? I've got knee pain all the time. What if you had chronic inflammation of your pancreas? Well, in some people, that may be called diabetes. What if you have chronic inflammation of the gallbladder? Well, that's probably going to manifest as you feel nauseous frequently. You feel swollen and bloated every time that you eat. Your bowel movements are not so fabulous. They're either one way or the other. Either we're talking about constipation or it's literally diarrhea, upset stomach all the time. I wouldn't wish a gallbladder attack on anybody. So why would the body produce C-reactive protein? I think every person that's going to go to the doctor this next month, maybe for a yearly checkup, maybe you should ask your doctor or the nurse practitioner or the PA, can you go ahead and do a C-reactive protein? I want to find out what my levels are. Well, why do you want to do that, ma'am or sir? Because I'd like to know if I'm dealing with inflammation because I don't feel as good as I should. Anyway, so if C-reactive protein is zero, man, you're doing great. Keep it up. You're doing fabulous. You are doing fabulous. But if your C-reactive protein starts to become elevated and it says on your lab value that it's high, well, we better start turning this around. Now, the first things that we need to consider is, why would C-reactive protein be elevated? Well, number one, if somebody had a bacterial infection, a viral infection, a fungal infection, parasites, infections are real famous for just causing inflammation to build up. But what if you don't have any of those? What if you have high levels of C-reactive protein? It's because you have an autoimmune disease. So what if you have MS? Or what if you have psoriasis or eczema? Or you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis? Or you have Graves' disease? Or maybe you have a connective tissue autoimmune disease called lupus? What if you have swollen fingers? And your fingers look like fat sausages. So does your hand and your wrist. Looks like somebody took a needle for a basketball and pumped up your hand. It's so swollen. I've seen that many times. It's not pretty. That would be called rheumatoid arthritis. Okay? Well, if you don't have an infection or an autoimmune disease and your C-reactive protein levels are high, well, it definitely increases with smoking cigarettes. So, if you smoke cigarettes, even if it's just a few a day, you need to rethink that. I'm going to leave that up to you. If a person has cancer, well, that's one that I'm telling you. Cancer cells, they release so much toxic filth in the body. That's one of the reasons why you're going to need detoxification support. How can we help the body wash the debris and the toxins out? Well, I'm glad we're talking about ginger. So, another thing that I think of before I get off this topic. If somebody were to walk in the doctor's office and the doctor says, let me do a simple test that I do on everybody. It's called hemoglobin A1C. Now, that is a really accurate test. And I know that we come from two different worlds and two different perspectives, but I think it's okay for us to have an open mind and talk about these things, because all I'm doing here is I'm giving you an option on things that you can do to be good stewards of your body and to be, what if you actually restore your health back into great working order? I think you have to. The other option, it don't look good at all. But if a doctor does a hemoglobin A1C and that number's like 5.7, 5.8, you got problems. That's telling me that the inner lining of your arteries, you know, the arteries that feed nourishment to the heart muscle or feed your brain oxygen and nutrients, that means that they're sticky and crusty and crunchy with crystallized sugar. I mean, that's not good. So if you take a C-reactive protein and that's elevated along with hemoglobin A1C, we had better find a way to turn that around. I mean, as much as I could tell you, I don't want anybody that I know developing dementia, Alzheimer's, or dying prematurely of a heart attack. I heard a woman was telling me yesterday that her father died when he was 60 of heart disease. Okay, so I'm going to try to cut through the scientific part of it, just kind of get to the nitty-gritty things you can kind of take to the bank. So, if you have inflammation, if your body's not in good repair, would you just like to take one more pharmaceutical drug? Well, you can if you want to, but you got to know going into it, they're very expensive, and a lot of them, they have side effects that are just untenable. That means you won't be able to tolerate the side effects, and you'll start asking the question, the drug is actually worse than the problem I've got. Now, that's not me talking. I'm just repeating what I hear people say. So in all the trials, ginger supplementation resulted in a lower C-reactive protein level. And the researcher writes, the effect was very strong. So when I read that, I thought, you know, this is so simple. Anybody can do this. So in the studies on ginger getting rid of inflammation, participants, they received somewhere between 1 to 3 grams of powdered ginger. So basically, if you didn't know what a gram of ginger is, if you had 1 level teaspoon of powdered ginger, that's a gram. And so they did this anywhere between 60 to 90 days. And so they demonstrated that taking a little bit more ginger, like 3 grams, it worked a little bit better than, you know, 1 gram. They showed also I don't have the chart right in front of me because I didn't look it up. I'm sorry. That when they supplement with ginger, it also improved cholesterol levels. I think I just read you the study just a moment ago that it improves insulin levels. Man, that's all to benefit you. So, I know this is a rhetorical, backwards way of saying this, but do you want to have high insulin, high blood sugar, high cholesterol? No, because you're asking for problems if you do. Well, maybe you could consider ginger. Now, this is the other part. I'm just kind of picking and choosing what I'm telling you, but they showed that there's going to be some people that have autoimmune diseases. And when you have an autoimmune disease, you might have what's called a tumor necrosis factor alpha becomes elevated. Well, that's what's found in autoimmune diseases. Well, they showed in this study on using ginger that it lowered that. Man, your body is going to be in so much better working order if you could just tackle that. They also looked at another marker that I thought was interesting. It's called NFKB. That's an enzyme that's just real active when a person has cancer. Or another way of saying it, higher levels of tumor necrosis factor alpha and NFKB, those are the very things that when they're higher, it causes liver cancer cells to start growing. I don't know if you know this or not, but liver cancer is massively increasing by leaps and bounds in a scary sort of way, which means we're having a whole bunch of younger people develop liver cancer. You don't want that. Well, in this particular study, it shows they could lower those two chemicals that lead to cancer and autoimmune diseases just with ginger. Or if you don't want that, you can take steroids and you can take tumor necrosis factor alpha receptor blockers, monoclonal antibodies. You can take all those drugs that they've got. They're called biologics. Anyway, to me, this is very, very interesting. Okay, somebody was trying to call on the phone. The phone number here at the station is area code 903-589-8507. And if you will just kindly dial that number, I will do my best to push the correct button and get you right in. That way, if you have a question, maybe you're curious about something. Personally, I think that's a pretty good quality to have, is to be curious. Because when you're curious, you're actively asking, you're seeking, you're knocking, you're trying to expend some effort to figure things out, to improve yourself. That's good. If you want to call and ask a question, the phone line is officially open. Area code 903-589-8507. But if you don't call, I'm going to talk about ginger some more because I find this topic so interesting. Anybody listening could do this. Okay. Now this one caught my attention also. I mean, when I saw this, I thought, you know what? Let me have a go at this topic right here. Okay, they did a study from South Korea. The researchers were at the name of the university is Woosuck. That is one of the greatest names I've ever heard of a university. I'm a graduate of Woosuck. Anyway, South Korea. But they published it in a journal called Biomolecules and Therapeutics. Isn't that interesting? And here's what they did. They gave just a teeny tiny amount of ginger to a very unique type of a... I don't want to read the name of this worm. Okay, it's a worm that lives just for a few weeks. It's called Caenorhabditis elegans. I know I butchered it. I'm so sorry, but sometimes I just think, who names these worms? But all they were doing is they were trying to find out, can this worm live so much longer if we just give it the very thing that it needs? And so they gave it ginger. All right, so exposure to 6 gingerol prolonged the lifespan of the nematodes, which is the name of the worm, by about 20%. Now, folks, I don't know how else to interpret this, but any time that you improve the lifespan of a human organism or a worm or a rat or a mouse or a dog, cat, or horse, That means the body is staying in good working order. Now, this is the part that I find interesting right here. I'm going to say it my way first, then I'll read it the way they said. You know, every cell in your body, and maybe we should talk about this for a second. You're only going to be as healthy as your individual cells are healthy. I'm not really a huge fan of the idea of a specialty. I mean, I'm okay with it. But the idea of a specialty is you just tend to narrow your focus down to just the lungs or just the liver. It's really the whole body, folks. You really want all the cells in your body really strong and vital and radiant and healthy. You can't say it that way. Yeah, you could say you have COPD, emphysema, cirrhosis of the liver, hepatitis, advanced heart disease, heart failure, but it's really the whole body. And so here's what's normal. Your cells need oxygen, and they need food to convert into energy, whether it's glucose or protein or fat. So we're just going to always have this normal byproduct of metabolism. Sometimes in the medical literature, I like the terminology. It's called metabolic sediment. If you want to say waste. So it's just normal, just like if I turn the ignition switch of the pickup on, out comes exhaust. I have oxygen and gasoline that goes into my internal combustion engine, and that generates power, but also it produces a exhaustive waste. Does that make sense? Okay. Now this is the part that I'm probably nerding out on, but I find it so fascinating. They showed in this study that gingerol, which is what comes from ginger, and they gave just a little bit to these nematodes or the worms, that it inhibited the accumulation of the aging molecule that's called lipofuscin in the nematodes. You may want to know what lipofuscin is, okay? Let me read this to you first. The researchers go on to write that the more lipofuscin there is in your tissues or your cells, the harder it is for enzymes to rejuvenate and repair those tissues. So in the real world, let me say it this way. Do you like the quality of your skin? Okay. Do you like your eyesight? How much value do you have for a brain that's very clear and you can be focused and it can serve you well? Well, do you want your body to break down prematurely? The more lipofuscin that builds up in your cells and your tissues, you just make it that much harder for your body to rejuvenate and repair and heal and regenerate tissues. I went straight to Wikipedia on this one because it was like so simple to get to. But here's just the highlights right here. When I looked up lipofuscin, the key takeaway is it's a yellow brown pigment granules, and they're saying it accumulates with aging. So what Wikipedia said is it's a wear and tear pigment. So you've heard of people having age spots where skin turns brown. Yeah, that's what we're talking about right there. And the rest of it I found so fascinating. They said one of the major issues or major risk factors implicate in somebody that develops what's called macular degeneration. If you haven't heard the term macular degeneration, good. I'm glad you don't know anything about it, but if you have eye trouble and you can't see so well, maybe you got macular. So what happens, one of the major factors that the research is pointing toward now of a person that's going to develop macular degeneration is they get this accumulation of that yellow-brown pigment granules. It's called lipofuscin. Or, if you want to say wear and tear pigments or proteins or and waste is building up in the macula of the eye and then you lose your vision, same thing. But you know what I also looked up, and I find this interesting also. When somebody has COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that this lipofuscin builds up in the lungs. How would you like to have a bunch of rust build up inside of the motor? No, you don't want that. You don't want to have flakes and bits of oxidized metal inside of the pistons and the valves and your fuel injectors. So, besides macular degeneration, besides COPD, the other big ones are going to be Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS. I think my sister told me that my father's favorite movie of all time, I didn't know this, was Pride of the Yankees. Well, that's a really great story. Now, I haven't seen the movie, but I've read a lot about Lou Gehrig, and I find him a very fascinating man to study. What a great study and a person's desire and to push themselves. Boy, did he push himself. But he had a condition named after him called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS for short. So here's my whole point. You don't want these pigments called lipofuscin building up in your brain or in your eyes or in your heart or your lungs. You don't want that. No. Ginger to the rescue. Okay? I looked up, were there any other ones? And lo and behold, what's a close cousin of ginger? Well, that would be turmeric or curcumin. So there's some people out there listening going, I wonder if I should start taking ginger. Maybe I should think about taking curcumin or turmeric. Two other ones that I found some research on, I did not pursue reading the entirety of the article, but ginkgo biloba, acetyl L-carnitine. So what's your takeaway? If you want to age gracefully, if you want to prevent all this accumulation of all this waste and debris in your body, well, why don't you think about ginkgo biloba, curcumin, or ginger? I don't know there's much more of this. Oh, yeah, the study was published in 2018. The Koreans, they did another study, same thing, and they showed that it extended the lifespan of a different type of worm or nematode. How would you like to have some metal shavings in your engine? No. You don't want metal. You don't want lipofuscin building up in your heart or your lungs or your brain or your toes. Well, that's just my analogy. Ginger to the rescue. Okay. If you want to call me and ask a question, now would be a very good time to do so. It's so much easier if you do it now, for me anyway, than doing it outside of this, which there's a lot of people that have no issues calling me at all times outside of this program, but that's one of the purposes of the program. So you can call me right now, and you can ask whatever questions you want. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Okay. Man, I've got another good one right here for you. If nobody calls, I'm just going to keep going. Okay, here's a phone call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
Everything is fantastic.
Uh-oh, I didn't do that. If you will, call right back. Evidently, you pushed the wrong button. The number here is 903-589-8507. Thank you for calling back.
All right. That was quick. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. Listening to you talk about ginger, fantastic. I happen to have some with a combination of turmeric, and I will start that process and as soon as we hang up.
Perfect.
My question is, my doctor suggests a cardiac CT scan. So that means arterial buildup, correct?
Well, was it a test specifically called the calcium scoring test?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, what that means is, so it is an extremely accurate test, but what it tells you is this. If you have chronic unresolved irritation or inflammation on that inner lining of the arteries, You're setting yourself up for the body to have no other choice but to lay some calcium down on top of it. But of course you don't want that, because if you calcify your arteries, that makes them rigid and stiff. They're not supple and pliable and flexible. So that's basically heart disease. So it's a very accurate test. The number zero is perfect.
Okay, well, I have not taken the test yet. I was just asking for...
Extremely accurate, yeah.
Right, so what is the defense process? What am I? Turmeric, ginger...
I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. What do you mean by what is the defense process? Do you mean what do you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Exactly what you're about to say. What do I do?
Well, if you go to your doctor, one of the things that you could look at is one marker called hemoglobin A1C. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, I've had that test.
Okay, so your best defense to start off with is to have a hemoglobin A1C around 4.5, 4.6.
Okay.
And so when that number starts to become elevated, you're increasing the risk or the odds of having chronic inflammation on the inner lining of your arteries. Now, the other one that I talked about this morning is one called C-reactive protein. But the reason why I mentioned that whole article was one of the solutions is to consume ginger. So it's just the idea that there's natural things that God's given us that if we just consume them, they kind of help get us to a better place. Or probably the way I want to say it is, it keeps your arteries and all the tissues and cells in much better working order. They're so much cleaner. They're a lot happier. They're working efficiently. And so that's what we want. We want to make all the cells healthy and happy. So C-reactive protein low, hemoglobin A1C. The other one that I look at is called uric acid. So you want your hemoglobin A1C being below the number 5. 4.5, 4.6 is pretty good. If it's 4.7, I'd say you're doing great. But if it's 5.7, 5.8, I would say, okay, we have enough clues that your body's heading toward inflammation of the arteries of the heart. So that's a good one right there. So you got ginger. You mentioned turmeric or curcumin. Man, that's just so good also. It's just helping assist your body at keeping all the cells clean.
Right.
Now, the other two things, I probably sound like a broken record when I say these things, but I don't think the truth is going to be diminished. But the whole idea that every cell in our body requires a certain amount of what are called omega-3 fatty acids in the cell membranes to keep the cells healthy, man, that's just so true. And so for the average person, actually 100% of all people listening, there's always a Goldilocks just right amount of the perfect concentration of omega-3 fatty acids like cod liver oil that keeps their body in tip-top working order. And so if that level of omega-3s becomes lower, that means they're at risk for calcification of their heart arteries, kind of like what you're talking about. Does that sort of make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
So unless you live on the coast of Japan or Alaska or someplace like that, how are you going to eat fish every day? I mean, do you eat salmon every day?
Not every day, but maybe once or twice a week.
Oh, well, you're doing great then. That's a huge... But I would say for most people, you want to consider the value of supplementing with omega-3 fatty acids like fish oil. Now, I'm fixing to say something that a lot of people are not going to agree with, but if you gave me only two choices, for the rest of my life, I can only choose from one of two things. I can either get a multiple vitamin mineral or quality fish oil or cod liver oil. You already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to choose what?
The fish oil.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had my way, I would rather put something that I know that the research has proven to greatly improve the quality of my life. Actually, I don't mind telling you, I would probably choose ginger, turmeric, and glucosamine sulfate and cod liver oil over any multiple vitamins. It's not even a topic of conversation. If I look at the studies on the value of taking a multiple vitamin mineral, they're not really great, unless you found some that I haven't. But the ones that I've read, it doesn't look extremely promising. But I could say the exact opposite about ginger or turmeric or glucosamine sulfate every day, cod liver oil. I could probably throw some magnesium in there. Yeah, and that's one of the things that happens. If you don't have just enough magnesium, so when you go to your doctor and they do a blood test, just ask them to run a serum magnesium test.
Serum magnesium.
So all the problems are going to be when that number on magnesium falls below 2.4. I know, because I've read the studies over and over again. I think I read them about twice a week when I'm talking with people. So if you hit a magnesium level and it's less than 2.4, let's just say yours is 2.0, then you got some significant work to do at trying to improve the optimal amount of magnesium in your body. And there's like a ton of other stuff also. One of the flavonoid or the plant bioflavonoids that's really, really great is called resveratrol. And a lot of times people get that from grape extract or grape seed extract. They can get it from pine bark. It's found in nature. They also have those in certain types of weeds that grow. I want to say it's called Japanese knotweed. It almost sounds funny because I used to hear the phrase, stop doing that, knothead. Growing up. Yeah, I can tell you who that was directed toward. That would be me. Anyway.
Somebody named Roy.
Yeah, somebody named Roy. Well, that would be me. No, anyway, I just laugh about that stuff. I mean, your childhood is a special time, isn't it?
It is.
You know what the truth of it is? I needed my father to tell me, hey, knothead, stop doing that. But that's a learning opportunity, isn't it?
It definitely is.
So if they do the calcium scoring test and that comes back zero, that means everything that you have been doing is like spot on. You are on track. You deserve an A+. You're doing great. Keep up the good work. But if it comes back higher than that, that means we've got some work to do.
Anything higher than zero is a problem.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it in the thousands before. That's pretty severe. I mean, the arteries are just so gunked up. They're so stiff and hard. They're not in good shape. But a lot of times, that's choices that people make. I'm not trying to be negative. But if a person chooses to smoke cigarettes, if they have uncontrolled diabetes, if the only thing they eat is junk food, if they're drinking soda waters full of high fructose corn syrup, if they don't take care of themselves, if they're super negative, I mean, I could just keep going on research on that. They're just asking for problems of their arteries.
Got it.
Another way of saying this is, you're only going to live as long as you have healthy circulatory system or arteries or capillaries. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes.
Yeah. So I think I'm a pretty big fan of the idea that food is good for us. And you got to have something to eat. But right. You want to make reason. So if I ask you, are you making pretty good food choices? You're going to say, yes. I'm having salmon once or twice a week. That would be a starting point. So sometimes a doctor's job is trying to remove obstacles to healing. Does that sound reasonable?
That sounds reasonable.
So like, for example, if somebody is leaving the donut shop and they have a honey bun, it's going up to their mouth, and they have Red Bull in the other can, what I usually do is I run up to the drive-thru without their permission, and I slap it out of their hand, and I tell them, I just saved your life. Actually, I've never done that. I'd probably get shot, wouldn't I? But I can make a joke with you on the radio about it. Like, if I see you holding a honey bun, I'm going to slap it out of your hand.
You do. Twice.
Oh, so you gave me permission to, right?
Twice.
So, the other thing is, if you want to have healthy arteries, I mean, I think everybody knows that the body is meant to move. You know, the life is in the blood as long as the blood is moving. The life is not in the blood if the blood stops moving. The last time I checked, if the blood stops moving for at least 3 days straight, that's probably going to be called pronounced dead by the justice of the peace. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, so in America, there's a lot of people that are not willing to move their bodies, but there's a lot of people like you and me that like moving the bodies. We don't mind work. Yeah. And so if you want to keep your body in good working order, you need to keep it moving. This week, can I share one thing that may sound like I'm going off track here?
I'm listening.
I listened to 3 different podcasts, and they were all very similar on the same topic, but they were referring to a study, and I can't remember where it came from. Maybe it was from Spain or Portugal. I should have remembered, but I don't. But because I don't have to remember that stuff. I can look it up, right? But in this particular study, they were looking at one unique metric, and here's what they did was... They tried to find out who was going to live and who was going to die and predicting how soon they were going to die based on one thing. If they could sit down on the ground without using their hands and then get back up without using their hands.
I can do that.
Then that is really impressive.
Well, there's a wobble in there.
Oh, I don't care. No. If you tell me there's a wobble and you're a little bit, maybe not perfect form like a gymnast, you are still going to be my hero on that deal because you can do it. That means you've tried to do it. But just being able to lower yourself, what I'm saying is lowering yourself safely to the ground. I don't mean you just plop on the ground trying to break a tailbone or something, but you're just safely and methodically and correctly lowering yourself to the ground where you can sit. And then usually, I mean, there's a lot of techniques, but you know how you cross your legs Indian style and just push yourself back up. I don't care if you have to rock forward or wobble a little bit. But I tell you what, that is a very powerful metric. And I know you know where I'm going with this, but have you ever seen somebody try to get out of a chair before and they just couldn't do it?
Yes.
I mean, the only way they could rise from a chair is if they had significant assistance from a person that was strong enough to pull them up. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
And the other thing they looked at is they measured the time that they could walk at their normal gait, covering 6 meters, which I think is like 19.6 feet. And I'm telling you, when it took longer than 4 seconds to cover that, you could predict with accuracy they're not long for this world. Now, that's a hard conversation because I know there's some people listening to me right now. I've got to try to convince them you're going to have to push yourself a little bit more to get your strength back and start moving more. But I think I'm being completely reasonable with few exceptions. Yes, there may be some people, they have a legitimate orthopedic reason like they've just recently had a knee replacement. Well, I don't want them, messing up their new knee. But for you, I don't mind telling you, every day, try it one time. Lower yourself to the ground, sit down, and push yourself back up without using your hands to push up. Of course, there's a lot of progressions. I mean, you could hang on to furniture at first. But being able to get up off the ground, man, that's powerful. Okay, what else you want to cover today?
Well, he mentions omega-3. Cod liver oil.
Yeah.
How does that... Well... wheat germ oil in comparison to...
There is no comparison.
Okay.
Omega-3 fatty acids are found naturally in cod liver oil, not so with wheat germ oil. You're asking a good question, but what I'm saying is cod liver oil, it provides you a unique nutrient that your cells need to be in optimal working condition.
I see.
I may not phrase this the right way, but Do you have a car or an SUV or a pickup?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like it if I took put 80% gasoline and 20% water for a gallon of gas in your truck? Would you like that?
Not even a little bit.
And so when you don't get enough omega-3 fatty acids, it's just a matter of time till the cell begins to break down prematurely. And it starts producing a lot of exhaust, just like, I really don't know what type of exhaust that would look like, but I would imagine that if you turned your pickup on and there's 20% water in there, I would imagine a whole bunch of water vapor is going to come out as exhaust. It probably may even look like smoke. Yeah, water is not good with metal, is it?
No, it's not. And misfire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it may run, but it's going to run really, really rough, right? I mean, I know you've had friends where they've gotten gas before where the water was contaminated. I mean, where the fuel was contaminated with water.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And they just got to drain the fuel tank and say, man, I got a bad tank of gas there. Let me put something else in there. I really do. So omega-3 fatty acids are good. Wheat germ oil is fabulous, though. If I was trying to help, can I just use a woman as my example? If a woman says, man, my hormones are not what they should be, there's a drop-off. My glands, like my ovaries and the adrenals, they're not making enough hormones for me. What do I do? Well, wheat germ oil might actually be a substance that could be a superfood to help get their glands back in better working order to help make hormones.
I see.
It's worth a try. See, that's a strategy that I've always liked. If hormones are out of balance, or if a woman has hormones that are just vastly underperforming compared to what they're used to, let's just say the ovaries shut down to where they're just working at 50% capacity, that's where feeding the ovaries some wheat germ oil might actually have a huge payoff.
I see. Okay. All right, because, well, that answered my question.
Okay, good deal.
Very nicely. That was fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your phone call today.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a
enjoy the rest of the day.
Hey, thanks a bunch. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, man.
You have a good one also. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line officially open. The phone number here is 903-589-8507. Well, good morning. How are you today?
Great. Okay. And I was listening to you, and I actually, you know, about before you said take ginger and turmeric and curcumin. All the symptoms you said that if you have that, you're in bad shape?
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are the symptoms I have. So what my question is, how much of this stuff that I go get and take? Because I think you did say something about taking too much. I mean, it's not, you're overdoing it.
Yeah, in this particular study that I read about inflammation, which causes all the problems in the body, they took about 2,000 milligrams of ginger powder. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. I mean, one simple way is if you said, I think I'll just go to the health food store and I'll just buy a bottle of 500 milligram capsules of ginger and I'll take four a day. You could do it that way. You don't have to. Some people might say, I think I'd rather just go get some fresh ginger root and just grate it with a cheese grater or a grater into a cup and put enough of it in there and then make a hot tea and drink it. So there's lots of ways that you can do it, but if you did the capsules, that's one way that you might be fairly consistent. And, you know, there's going to be some people that are listening. They put their own ginger in their own capsules. They just encapsulate themselves. I mean, they sell those devices on Amazon where you can just put your own powdered ginger, which is cheap, directly in the capsules, and you can make your own.
Okay, so I wouldn't have to, if I start taking, I can take all these three, the ginger, the turmeric, and the cucumber, or just one.
If you said to yourself, my body is not in good repair, I don't feel as good as I should, you could probably take both of them. You could probably take ginger and turmeric. Now, I know that I'm an opinionated person, but maybe my opinion's been formed on what I've read. But I think if I had to choose one of them, I think I'd go with ginger if I could just do one of them. I would probably supplement with ginger, cod liver oil, magnesium. And then I might even take for just a couple of weeks a hefty dose of vitamin D3 just to see if my body likes this and if it's starting to turn the situation around where I'm very hopeful and I feel better. And if you feel better, isn't that a pretty good clue that you're heading in the right direction?
Well, yes, I've been trying that vitamin D and that fish oil, and I think you said a krill oil. I'm not too sure if you said it. Krill oil?
Yeah, krill oil is something you use also.
Well, I have been doing that ever since I heard you say that. But now, I don't know if I'm taking too much because I'm doing it every day, taking all those vitamins.
Well, let me ask you this.
Vitamin D, calcium, and all, everything else.
Oh, I'm proud of you for doing that. But let me ask you this. What is the most important thing to you? What do you want more than anything else? Or what is it that you want to accomplish?
Well, lose that. At night, I get a pain that goes up, and up to my chest, and it's like it's going to erupt, but it doesn't.
Are you talking about acid reflux or heartburn?
I thought it was acid reflux or heartburn, but no, because I used to have that long time ago.
Well, what do you think the pain's coming from?
Like a ball of something that it just wants to come out, but it doesn't.
How do I know you don't have a hiatal hernia? That could cause all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really could. Now, usually when I'm trying to examine somebody and I push on the very tip of their sternum, it's called the xiphoid process. If I push from where the stomach is inferior to superior toward that tip, I know I'm not explaining it very well. If that's tender, I always think that person's got a hiatal hernia.
Oh. Okay.
I even had a woman tell me this week, she said all my symptoms went away, and that was like 3 days ago, because what I usually do is very simple. Any doctor could do it. They can just gently pull the stomach back down below the diaphragm to get it back in place. That way, when you drink water or you eat food, nothing gets trapped there. But if you have a hiatal hernia, you can say it's like there's a ball there pushing up.
That's only at night when I'm ready to go to bed, like if I'm laying down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you lay down, you start putting more upward pressure on the diaphragm.
Okay.
So just think about that.
What test should I get to find out what it is that I have? Or
Yeah, that's all easy to do. I mean, but what we're doing is a lot of times I'm bad about overthinking, but the simplicity of it is, if you were right here at the radio station right now, I would walk you through it, and I would say. And that's what the doctor's job is. The doctor's job is to find out where is the problem coming from, what's causing it. Even if you've never heard of it before, it's still my job to explain it to you. But it would be very, very easy to examine to see if that's the case. And then we could start talking about this is what you do. But I'm always a fan of the things that are non-toxic, and they're natural, and they're good for the human body, and they make you feel better. But we have to figure out what the problem is. But I would make a guess that you probably have a hiatal hernia. I could be wrong.
Okay. Is that bad? I mean, it could be curable with.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I should have covered that. It usually is very easily curable. Now, the other little caveat that I want to throw in here, a lot of this has to do with the muscle tone of your pelvis or your hip flexors or your hip muscles. If a woman has over time lost the strength of her hip muscles, that's when you're asking to have a hiatal hernia. So one of the jobs of your pelvic floor muscles and your hip flexors is to try to keep your stomach in good alignment and good place. So I've done this thousands of times, but if a woman has weak pelvic floor muscles, I don't know that you can easily fix that until you start getting those muscles strong again. But that's easy. That's just called mobility exercises or stretches. Easy to do. All that's easy. You could literally go onto YouTube right now and type in, what are the exercises to correct a hiatal hernia, and see if you could fix it yourself. It's entirely possible.
Okay.
So you can even give it a shot. And do they have YouTube in different languages like Espanol?
I don't know. I've never tried. I never heard anybody say it.
Well, do you speak only English or do you speak another language?
Spanish.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Tú es muy inteligente.
Oh, you make my day.
Oh, good.
You're so dumb.
Well, I'm so glad you called today. Let me know what you think about YouTube and the hiatal hernia videos, but we're all out of time for today, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Yes, thanks a bunch. Have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.